Beginning in verse 12, what's your body type? 1 Corinthians 12 and beginning in verse 12. Paul says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, yet all of its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? But as it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are really indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable, we treat with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. We won't read the next couple of verses, but I want to draw your attention to the very last verse of this chapter. Paul says in verse 31, but eagerly desire the greater gifts. Let's pray and invite the Holy Spirit to come and minister to us. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the people you love so much. Thank you that we belong to you and we belong to one another. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. Come and minister to us as we receive the truth of God. If your heart agrees with that, just say amen and amen. When it comes to church, what type of body do you want to be part of? Just as there are many different types of human bodies, there are many different types of church bodies. So what type is right for you? You know, that question is doubly important to me. It's important to me first as a believer. It's important to me as a husband, as a father. In what type of body do I want to grow personally in Christ? In what type of body do I want my family to be planted and to thrive? In what type of body do I want my marriage to be supported? In what type of body do I want to raise my children to love God, to know God? In what type of body do I want to invest my time, my talent, my treasure? That question is also important to me as a pastor. What type of body do I wish to grow here at harvest time? What type of body do I wish to occupy phase two? I have to tell you the truth, now that construction is underway, I really am thinking less and less about the actual building, and I'm thinking more and more about what's going to go in that building and what's going to come out of that building. What type of body do I want to represent the fruit of my life's labor? You know, I realized I've been saying something wrong to my son for a while now. I keep telling my son, Ben, hold on to my sermon notes because they are my life's work. You see, for every sermon that I bring to you, I have 50, sometimes 100 pages of handwritten notes from which I could have preached 5 more sermons. There's all kinds of reflections. There's all kinds of revelations distilled from hundreds of hours of study in the Word of God. I hope to commit some of those to print someday. But I've come to realize that sermon notes are not at all my life's work. You are my life's work, harvest time. Sermons are only as good as the fruit that they produce in the community of believers in which they were given. You are the letter written on my heart. You are the result of our ministry, not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. What type of body do I want to leave behind for the next leaders whom God will call here? What type of body do I want to present to the Lord on that great and final day? You see, in the end, I will not bring him sermon notes to lay at his feet. I will bring him you. Looking at Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 12, I find seven things that describe the type of body that I want to be part of, and I want to share them with you quickly today. Seven things that describe the type of body that I want to be part of and that I want to grow here at Harvest Time. First, a body where everyone has a hidden identity. A body where everyone has a hidden identity. Verse 12 is extremely unique. It is the only place in the entire New Testament where the name of Christ is used synonymously for the church. Paul says, just as the human body is one unit made up of many parts, so it is with Christ. And by that, he means the body of Christ. You know, that one little line, it communicates a massively important truth about the real nature of Christianity, about the real nature of the church. Only those who are in Christ are truly members of his body. So much discussion is happening these days about what has gone wrong with the church. Why is the church losing influence in American culture? Why has the church been riddled with embarrassing scandals? Why is the church compromising now after 2,000 years of moral biblical tradition? If you're not following the headlines, the Presbyterian Church USA just came out with a watershed vote this last week that they are now fully embracing same-sex marriage. They're embracing it among their clergy. They're embracing it among their congregation members. I want to tell you, in 2,000 years of church history, never ever has the church ever embraced that. Why is the church less spiritually dynamic? Why is it less powerful than it once was? I would submit to you that a very large part of the problem is that many people who belong to a church membership role don't actually belong to Jesus. Many people consider themselves members of a faith community, but they are not biblical members of Christ. They are in church, but they are not in Christ. While we were studying Galatians, we looked at this spiritual experience called union with Christ. There is a defining moment of believing on Jesus. There's a defining moment in which we become convinced in the deepest place inside of us about him. There's a decisive moment of surrendering to Jesus. There's a decisive moment of turning away from our old life, whatever it was, and receiving his forgiveness and his new life. In that moment, we become united with Christ in a mysterious bond of relationship. We become organically and vitally connected to him. Jesus used the metaphor of a vine and its branches to describe it. It's like the connection between a head and its body, like the connection between a husband and a wife in the one flesh bond of marriage. In a way that I really can't explain to you, in that moment of believing, Christ becomes a part of me and I become a part of Christ. Paul says that I become a body member of Christ. That doesn't mean that I'm merely a member in the sense that my name is written on a roll, but I am a living body part of Christ. I am alive through him. I am connected to him. I am sustained by him. In 1 Corinthians 6, Paul says that the members of my physical body have now become, in a mysterious way, the members of Christ himself. I am in Christ, and Christ is in me. When we become united with Christ, something radical happens to our identity. In a way that I really can't explain to you, Christ's experiences on the cross and in the resurrection become my spiritual experiences. My old sinful identity is nailed to the cross with Christ. And my spirit, which was dead in sin, becomes alive inside of me. It is resurrected with Christ. Jesus said, through the indescribable work of the Holy Spirit, I am born all over again. Paul said, I become a new creation. My old life passes away and everything becomes new. Here's the fundamental problem in the American church today. Too many people want to belong to the church without forfeiting their old sinful identity. That they want to add Jesus to their life without relinquishing anything. And beloved, it doesn't work that way. Here's a tweetable line for you. Biblical Christianity is not merely annexing Jesus to your present life. It is a radical exchange. Your old life traded for his new life. Paul put it this way, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that lives, but Christ lives in me. In another place, he said, you have died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. In fact, we become so intimately identified with Christ that in verse 12, Paul can use Christ's name synonymously for us, his body. You see, that's what made the Church of Acts so powerful. Every member of the church was first a living member of Christ. Everyone in the church was in Christ. Their old sinful identities were hidden in Christ, and they were new creations. And that's what will make Harvest Time Church powerful too. That's the type of body that I want to be part of. That's the type of body that I want to move into phase two. That's the type of body that I want Harvest Time to always be. What type of body do I want to be part of? Second, I want to be part of a body where everybody is a heavy drinker. Oh, it got interesting now. You see, when by faith we experience union with Christ, the Father sends the Holy Spirit into our heart. The Holy Spirit connects us to Christ, as we just described. The Holy Spirit connects us to the Father. He assures us that we belong to Abba and that Abba belongs to us. And the Holy Spirit connects us to one another. Paul says in verse 13 that the Holy Spirit baptizes us. He initiates us into the body of Christ. If Christ is in your heart, then the Holy Spirit creates a desire within you to connect with other believers, to gather with other believers for worship. The Holy Spirit creates within you a desire to share your life with other believers, to form bonds of friendship and kinship and affection. The people that you once thought were weird, the people that you once thought were weak-minded, the people that you once thought were freaks and fanatics, the people who used to repulse you, now you find yourself strangely drawn towards those people. You want to be with them. And the people that once felt like family to you, they now feel like strangers. The Holy Spirit creates a desire inside of you to become part of a local body of believers, to contribute to its health and its success and its growth. The Holy Spirit makes you feel like you belong. He makes you willing to commit. He makes you willing to submit to the authority of the body. Listen, we don't cease being individuals. Paul is very clear about that in these verses, but we do cease being individualistic. We now have a desire generated by the Spirit inside of us to belong. The Holy Spirit creates within us a sense of solidarity with believers across the country and all around the world. When a believer shines for Jesus on the world stage, we feel proud of that. When a believer is criticized, we rise to stand with him. When a believer is persecuted, we suffer with him. And not only does the Holy Spirit initiate us into the body, but the Holy Spirit continues to water the body. Paul says literally in verse 13, we are all made to drink the same Spirit. You know, that's what was happening while we were worshiping this morning. We were drinking of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And as we drink of the Holy Spirit, he refreshes that sense of belonging to one another. He refreshes that sense of unity across every kind of social barrier, gender barrier, every kind of economic barrier, class barrier. He unites us together. The Holy Spirit continually refreshes the kinship, the affection we feel for one another. He continually renews our sense of commitment to the body. He continually renews our sense of solidarity with believers all around the world. You know, there are many different groups that are called bodies. There are student bodies, there are legislative bodies, judicial bodies, there are even religious bodies, but I want to tell you, there is no other body on earth like the body of Christ. The body of Christ is initiated by the Holy Spirit, and it is sustained by the Holy Spirit, and that's why it will always endure to the very end of time itself. Beloved, listen to me. We are not held together by mere human determination. We are held together by an invisible, unquenchable, supernatural force. The intimidation of the world will never stop the church. The sanctions of secular society will never stop the church. Government persecution will never stop the church. Islamic jihad will never stop the church. Guess what? I read to the end of the book, ISIS is nowhere to be found, but there is a spirit and a bride who say, come. All the fury of hell itself will never stop the church. I don't know about you, but in these turbulent days, I want to be part of a body where people are heavy drinkers. Not getting drunk with wine, not getting high on drugs, but where people are constantly drinking again and again and again of the refreshing presence of the Holy Spirit. I want to be part of a body where people are praying in the Spirit and singing in the Spirit. I want to be part of a body where the beautiful gifts of the Holy Spirit are welcome and where they're being manifested for the common good. I want to be part of a body that's constantly being watered, where that sense of connectedness and commitment and affection and affinity is constantly being renewed. I want to tell you what, in these last days, I'm looking for some drinking buddies. Let's drink deeply together of the new wine of the Holy Spirit. Let's drink until we are fully under His influence. Let's drink until He is coming out of our pores. What type of body do I want to be part of? Third, I want to be part of a body where nobody is a nobody. In verses 12 and 13, Paul tells us what the body is, and then he goes on to talk about two common ailments in the body. The first ailment in verses 14 through 20 is feelings of insignificance. I'm really not needed here. In Corinth, just like in every church, there were some in the congregation who had a very high profile. There were some whose gifts put them in the spotlight. There were some with teaching gifts. There were some with worship gifts. There were some with prophetic gifts. There were some with leadership gifts. And the nature of the gifts God gave them just put them in front of everyone else. There were also some people who were very successful in society, and that gave them prominence in the church. You see, there were no church buildings. There was no phase one. There was no phase two. And so believers met in the largest homes that they could find, and the hosts automatically had stature in the congregation. And just like in every church in Corinth, there were others who felt insignificant when they compared themselves with those in the spotlight. Maybe they felt like they were unnoticed. Maybe they felt like they were underestimated. They had gifts to share and they were overlooked. Maybe they felt unappreciated for their service behind the scenes. Maybe they even felt unwanted. They thought to themselves, you know, I'm really not needed here. Whether in Corinth in 55 AD or Greenwich in 2015 AD, those are very real feelings. But Paul says we have to fight them because they're just not true. He said, imagine if your foot said to your hand, since I can't be a hand, I'm really not needed here. Now, it's easy to understand how your foot could be jealous of your hand. You know, your hands are always in view. You put nice smelling lotion on your hands. You get a manicure. You decorate your hands with rings and with bracelets. And think about all the wonderful things your hands can do. Your hands can learn to play beautiful music. They can cook gourmet food. They can paint a beautiful scene. They can build something really big. Your hands can administer healing to someone. They can express love. You communicate with your hands. And what do you do with your feet? You cover them with a sock and you stuff them in a shoe and you walk on them all day. The truth is, you seldom even think about your feet unless they're bothering you. And yet, have you ever tried to get around if one of your feet is out of commission, or God forbid, both of your feet are out of commission? Have you ever tried walking around on your lovely, bejeweled, talented hands? How far did you get walking on your hands? After a few weeks, if you've ever had to be on crutches, if you've ever had to wear a boot, if you've ever had to be in a wheelchair, how thankful were you to get your feet back? And maybe that truth can help us. You see, the very existence of the body depends on a wide diversity of abilities and functions. And that truth, it can help us to fight back feelings of insignificance whenever they try to overtake us. Listen, it is not just a polite platitude to say that everyone in the body is needed. It is absolutely the truth. Easter weekend is coming in 2 weeks. We'll be in Stamford on Good Friday evening. We'll be down the street on Easter Sunday morning. You know, less than 10% of us will be in the spotlight on Easter weekend. There will be only one speaker. There will be only one worship leader. There'll be a few soloists. There'll be a handful of musicians. There'll be 50-something in the adult choir. There's 50-something in the children's choir. But still, all of those together are less than 10% of us. But the 90% that will not be in the spotlight are absolutely critical to the spiritual success of Good Friday and Easter Sunday morning. Where would we be without greeters to help our guests find their ways around the facilities? Where would we be without the Welcome Center to give out information about harvest time? Where would we be without ushers to help people find their seats and to wait on them during the services? Where would we be without security prepared to assist people if a need should arise? Where would we be without the production team who have been working for weeks already to make sure that these services are excellent to the glory of God? Where would we be without the hospitality team who will take care of hundreds of volunteers that will be at the palace for 12 hours on Good Friday? Where would we be without children's ministry volunteers to help care for the younger children so that their parents maybe could listen to the gospel and respond for the first time? Where would we be without prayer teams who are praying already and who on Good Friday afternoon and on Saturday afternoon are going to pray over every seat in the Palace Theater, and they're going to pray over every seat in the Performing Arts Center down the street? They're going to lay hands and pray over those chairs that the person who fills that seat is going to open his heart, her heart, to receive Christ. Where would we be without the altar teams to minister to people who come forward to ask Christ into their heart? You know, we still need volunteers in all of those areas. In your program today, there's a form to sign up. If you haven't done so already, I would ask you to pray about being part of this whole body effort on Easter weekend. Fill out that form. Volunteer in some capacity. There's a bin in the far back corner of the sanctuary where you try to go out, but you can't because there's no door. But you can go by the bin and you could drop your form in and be part of it. We need all of you to help fill up those theaters with worship. I'll be frank, we need all of you to bring an offering to help us defray the cost. We need all of you to bring guests to come hear the gospel. We need you to pray while the sermon's going on. We need you to pray while the invitation is given, that the Holy Spirit would come and do what only He can do. Beloved, absolutely nobody in the body is a nobody. Everybody is valuable. Everybody matters. Everybody is needed. And that's the truth. Writing as an apostle, Paul lets us in on a little secret regarding those with the high-profile gifts. He says even they are not immune to insecurity. Paul says, imagine if your ear became jealous of your eye. You know, those two senses, they're at the very top. They're at the top of the body positionally. They are at the top of the hierarchy of senses. Really? You could have been made a gallbladder, and God made you an ear, and you are still not happy? You can lead worship like that, and you're still insecure? You can teach like that, and you're still insecure? You can prophesy, you can pray, you can mobilize armies of people to get things done, and still you're insecure? And yet Paul says it's true. The highly gifted ear is jealous of the eyes, which are just a little more prominent. You know, your eyes are right out in front. Eyes are beautiful. Ears, not so much. Eyes come in an exciting variety of colors. We not only see with our eyes, we communicate with our eyes. They're the window to the soul. When was the last time that you looked at the one you love and you stared into her ears? No, you look in the eyes. And even though the ears are highly gifted, you know, they just kind of hang there on the side and they don't do much. The only other useful function that they have is to hold up your glasses to accommodate your eyes. But oh, what would we do without our ears? And let's not forget our nose either. Sometimes even the most gifted people we know still struggle with insecurity when they compare themselves to the gifts of others. To help us fight those feelings, Paul shares this truth. He says, in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. God placed you exactly where He wanted you. He gifted you exactly how He wanted to gift you. He gave you the function that He exactly knew that you and only you could do. If we say we're insignificant, we are saying no to the idea of the body. And worse, we're saying no to God. We're failing to trust His judgment in the matter. I want to be part of a body where everybody knows that He is somebody special to God and to us. What type of body do I want to be part of? Number four, I want to be part of a body where nobody is an island. In verses 21 through 26, Paul goes on to talk about a second common ailment in the body, self-sufficiency. I don't need any of you. Paul continues with his talking body parts, only this time the eyes are looking down their nose at the hand. The head is looking down at the feet. Because they have such a high position, because they have such a high function, they have concluded that they really don't need those beneath them. In Corinth, just like in every church, there were some who got a little too big for their britches. Because they possessed some spiritual gifts that put them in the public eye, because they held a leadership position in the church, because they had social stature, they became proud. We've been in ministry for over 25 years now, most of them right here at Harvest Time. And sadly, it's been our observation that while God's gifts have the potential to be a tremendous blessing to the body, they also have the ability to create monsters if they're not tempered with humility and love and self-discipline and accountability. How many times has someone grown in a spiritual gift and all of a sudden he or she doesn't need the accountability of the body anymore? How many times has someone developed as a leader and all of a sudden he or she doesn't need the accountability of the body anymore? Can I tell you that I have never yet, in 40 years of following Jesus, I have never yet once seen that work out well for somebody, and especially not for their children. The New Testament doesn't recognize any Lone Ranger Christians who are not part of a local body of believers. Paul answers the problem of self-sufficiency with two truths. First of all, he says that the less visible members might seem unneeded to some, but they, in fact, are the indispensable ones. If you think about it, it's absolutely true. I could lose an eye, I could lose both eyes, and still be quite alive. I could lose my ears, and I could still be quite alive. I could lose my nose, it would be ugly, but I'd still be alive. But my liver, I can't do without. My heart, I can't do without. And if you think about your own experience in the church, many of you have been in the church for many years, this church, other churches, if you think about it, it's absolutely true. Leaders come and go. Some of them make themselves very visible for a while, but it turns out that they aren't indispensable because they leave and the body is still here. Pastors come and go. They're gifted, but they're not indispensable. The body is still here. Our founding pastor was called away. He was and he is beloved, but he was not indispensable, and neither am I. The body is still here and the body will still be here. Who is indispensable is you, the members of the body of Christ. And Paul says that those seemingly less important members, they will receive greater honor from God. Beloved, listen, when it comes to rewards, God doesn't assess us based on how much time we spent in the spotlight. God assesses us based on how faithful we were to the task to which he called us. In chapter 3, Paul says, God has assigned us each to something different, and he rewards us each according to our labors. In other words, God will reward the foot for how well it footed, and he'll reward the hand for how well it handed. If I have to be truthful, when I consider all the unrealized potential of my hands, my feet have performed better as feet than my hands have performed as hands. My hands could have mastered the guitar. I've taken it up several times in my life, and every time my hands get calluses, they quit. My hands have not created the things that they could have. They have not always finished what they started. They have fumbled, and they have dropped and broken valuable things. But my feet have never once failed to carry me in spite of the calluses. Sometimes when we see the extreme giftedness that God has bestowed on others, it just doesn't seem fair. And yet some of them fail to reach the potential that God has given them. Some of them don't finish what they start. They turn out to be a flash in the pan. Some of them fumble, make big messes. They break delicate, valuable things. Meanwhile, the members that were functioning unseen all this time, year after year, decade after decade, they continue being faithful. And Paul says to them, to you, God will bestow greater honor. That's something very good. I want to be part of a body where no man is an island, where we all deeply value and appreciate one another, from the parking lot to the platform and all the way back again. What type of body do I want to be part of? Number 5, you doing all right? All right, the last 3 are going to go quick. Worship team, better come help me. What type of body do I want to be part of? Number 5, I want to be part of a body where everybody shares the suffering of anybody. Paul says in verse 25, God's desire is that all the parts of the body should have equal concern for one another, so that if one member suffers, everyone suffers with him or her, shares that suffering. Can I tell you that that too is the work of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the one who connects us. And the Holy Spirit is the one who continually waters us with love for one another. The Holy Spirit makes us sensitive to one another's needs. The Holy Spirit fills us with empathy, fills us with compassion. The Holy Spirit moves us to take action to relieve one another's suffering. Beloved, I can only say to you that we need more of that here at harvest time. We need to drink more of the Spirit so that we can share more with those among us who are suffering. There are people in our church who are lonely. Had a friend many years ago. He's since moved to the Midwest, but he suffered a divorce. His children were grown. And he told me one day over breakfast, he said, "Glenn, I am so lonely." He said, "Sometimes I send myself emails so that in the morning when I wake up, there's something in my inbox to read." There are people who are grieving. There are people who have suffered horrible losses and setbacks. There are people who have made messes of their lives. There are people who are recovering from divorce. There are people whose kids are far away and they can't reach them. They're suffering. There's people in financial need. There's people in physical need. May we drink deeply of the Holy Spirit. May we be watered. Come on, let's not just be so focused on our own little self-sufficient lives that we forget that we're part of a body who needs us. What kind of body do I want to be part of? Number six, I want to be part of a body where everybody celebrates the success of somebody else. Not only do we share suffering, but when someone is honored, we rejoice with that person. Now listen, this is interesting. Paul says that we suffer with those who suffer, but when someone is honored, we don't share the honor. We just celebrate that they've been honored. Can I tell you, a lot of times we do a better job empathizing with those who suffer than we do rejoicing with those who have been honored. It takes a special kind of maturity. It takes a special kind of love to celebrate the successes of others while we're still waiting for God to come and answer our prayer. All of our pastors meet for prayer every Tuesday morning, and I want you to know that we pray earnestly for your success. I want you to know we pray for you by name. I want you to know we pray for the prayer requests that you put in on the cards on Sunday. We pray for you corporately. We pray for the success of your relationships. We pray for the success of your marriages. We pray for the success of your relationships with your kids. We pray for your health. We pray that everything your hands touch will prosper. We pray that God will bless your studies. We pray that God will bless your careers. We pray that God will bless your businesses. We pray that God will bless Potiphar's house for your sake, that the company, the division you work in will be the highest producing, highest yielding because you're there. We pray for your finances. And more than anything, we pray for your growth in Christ, and we celebrate every success that God gives you. When you are honored, we celebrate. What type of body do I want to be part of? Finally, the last thing is this. I want to be part of a body where everybody is upwardly mobile. After everything Paul says about the parts of the body, he ends this chapter with something that seems like a contradiction. He says, "Eagerly desire the greater gifts." And he repeats that command three times in chapter 14. Now, how can Paul tell us in one breath to be content with our place in the body, and then in the very next breath, he tells us to eagerly desire more gifts? Well, that's easy. You know, it's possible to long for spiritual gifts that we do not yet have while still celebrating the ones that we do have. It's possible to long for more gifts and yet realize that the level that I'm functioning at today is absolutely necessary and indispensable. It's possible to seek for a gift tomorrow without calling into question the wisdom of God in the gifts that He's given me today. There is a such thing as a holy discontentment. And that's my prayer for Harvest Time Church. That every one of us would have a holy discontentment, that we would desire to be used more and more by the Holy Spirit, not to be seen by others, but for the common good. That's the type of body I want to be part of. That's the type of body that I want to grow here. That's the type of body I want to move into phase two. That's the type of body that I want to leave behind as the fruit of my life's work. People who are hidden in Christ. People who are heavy drinkers in the Spirit. People who are deeply value one another, who are interdependent, who are compassionate, secure, and pursuing growth in Christ. If that's the kind of body you want to be part of too, I want to ask you to stand on your feet and give Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, a great big praise in this place. Oh, come on, let's give Jesus.